You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith, your hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. You know, all of us on some level desire a transformation in our marriage. Whether the transformation is a small change or a complete overhaul, we want to experience more joy, more peace, more love, and more purpose.
The truth is, we are always going through some form of transformation, for there is no such thing as staying the same. The question is, are we transforming into what God desires or something else?
This episode is brought to you by our faithful patron team who have chosen to help financially support this show. Here's a shout out to some of the most recent patrons: Nicole M, Don G, Kimberly S, Catherine C, Candace G, and Regina J. We thank you so much for choosing to partner with us in blessing tens of thousands of couples with free daily prayer emails and this weekly podcast. If you've been blessed by this free Marriage After God content, we'd love to invite you to join our patron team. Please visit marriageaftergod.com/patron.
Well, this has been a whole month now of the podcast
going.
It's awesome.
We are doing it.
Welcome to 2023. How's January been for you?
Well, it feels like we've been doing better because we're better, as in we've talked about, we're getting into routines. Mm-hmm. Like the routines look different than they used to, but we're getting some routines and I like it.
Sometimes you just got to reset.
Yeah.
Sometimes life forces you to reset.
Yeah. Hence 2020, 2021, 2022.
Every year there's been a new reset. So what's been happening lately last week?
Well, just before.
Oh yeah. I was going to say that.
I walk in and wanted Jennifer to look at the notes and she's like, "What notes?" And I'm like, "Oh my goodness. Was one of the kids in here?"
There was like two sentences and a bunch of
garbly
gibberish.
Yeah.
Did you say garbly?
Garbly goop. The notes were deleted. Literally.
Who
right
was the culprit? That's what I
want
to know. Edith.
I'm wondering what else happened in our room. So luckily I was able to restore the notes. So we weren't out of luck. But something that is awesome that happened this week is I got to start jujitsu.
Nice.
Yeah.
The kids have been doing it for a year. Did you know that?
It's been a whole year.
I know. Wow. Crazy. It went by fast.
And they're getting really good. And I was getting jealous. And I'm like, I got to get good at jujitsu so that I can wrestle with them and them not win me every time. So I started this week. And I think you're a little jealous because I think you want to start too.
I've been wanting to start for 7 months. And, you know, I feel like out of everyone in the family, mom gets to make those kind of choices last because everyone's got to be okay if I'm going to step out of the house.
Yeah. It is true. We need you a lot.
So timing was off, but who knows?
I think we might try it this week though together, right? On a date night or something?
I think we're going to try it on a date night.
We should do it.
But it's just a fundamentals class. So it'll be easy for me, I think. Maybe. Not easy, but... I'm not going to do what you're doing.
It's more straightforward, yeah.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it was one of the most rewarding and intense workouts I've had in a very long time. Like, I walk out drenched, soaking. It's disgusting. I'm so wet. I was like, I was getting in the van and I had to look for something to sit on so I wouldn't get all the seat all wet.
Gross.
It was really gross. But I'm also really sore. And to be honest, I felt really good. After the first class, I was like, dang, I'm not that bad. I did awesome. And then the second class, I realized everyone was probably being really nice to me because I'm not good at all. That was awesome.
Does
actually.
That make you want to go back or?
Yeah, it was still a lot of fun. No one was mean about it. Everyone was everyone's so nice and they just want you, everyone wants to get good together. So yeah. It just made me excited.
Hey, that's good for this episode. Get good together. That's
get
what
good
we should
together.
Call it.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to growing in it. So
cool. Well, something that's been interesting for me was a little bit unexpected, just because we've had conversations about it, but
privately.
But the kids started praying for me like crazy,
out of nowhere,
that I would have another baby, and it really warms my heart. And it's Aaron and I have talked about this in the past where like we look at Edith, she's 2, almost 3, and she's been our baby for so long that it's
is
like
this the longest gap
yeah.
we've had so far? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think to myself, like, okay, well, if this is all the kids that we have, I'm totally content and happy with where our family is at. And then there's this piece of my heart that I'm like, but if I have another, that'd be awesome.
Our hands are always open in that sense. You know, we want God's will. And at the same time, we're praying and asking God to bring us along with them.
Yeah.
So, but our kids started praying for it.
Like
and now,
every day.
Now,
every
like at Bible time, would anyone like to pray? First prayer, God, give mommy a baby. And then Elliot just came up randomly. Me and you were talking this morning just about the day. And I can't remember what we were talking about. And he just comes over and puts his hands on both of us and looks at us and starts praying for a baby. We're like, okay,
really
I guess he does want a baby.
So that's just been going on all week.
So we will see if you guys get an announcement at some point this year about
stick
a baby
coming.
Stick
around if you want to hear it.
There's
we'll
no announce
announcement
it on the
podcast.
But
no.
you will hear about it if that happens.
We shall see.
So for this topic, transforming your marriage. It's hard to say that. Transforming.
No, it's get better together. Or what'd you say?
Yeah, let's do this together. Get better together. Transforming your marriage together. We wanted to bring up some ideas, and we actually have 7 of them for you. But what inspired this idea for you, Jennifer? Because you kind of wrote down some of these ideas that we've been building off of.
Yeah. Well, the initial just idea of hey, let's talk about transformation for a minute in marriage came because of a conversation that we had back in December. And I was having a hard time dealing with desiring change and wanting change and being frustrated over things not changing.
Which also has been the theme for this whole month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember calling you and we were having a conversation about, well, I was letting my emotions out and you were being a good listener. But then you said, let's transform together. Let's be transformed together or something like that.
Yeah. Well, because you felt like it was, you couldn't, you're like, I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. You know, and that's why we've been talking about this mm-hmm. in various aspects throughout this month. But we all feel that way. That's why I shared with you. I was like, I feel like there's things in my life that I can't break out of either, that I can't mm-hmm. change. And then I kind of was just saying like, well, we have to be transformed.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way we have true change in our life is if there's a transformation. Like mm-hmm. we can't be the same person and then, but act differently. We can't be in the same place and yet be in a different place. We have to change.
Yeah.
To
and I think the tension of the agony in all of our lives when it comes to transformation is we're on one side where we desire the change because we're frustrated over the results and things happening because
the
of where we're at.
Yeah.
But we also know that to get to the other side of change, it just requires a lot.
It's painful. Yeah.
And it's hard to make those changes and those habits and redefining, you know, rhythms and routines and things that will help kind of make mm-hmm. all of that happen.
I think an encouragement also about transformation, because it's easy to say like, we got to be transformed. It's like, well, yeah. How? Right. I think the first step, and it's something that we've been trying to reiterate, is that we can change. If there's areas in our lives that we don't like or that we know God wants changed in us, like we have the ability to, because God's putting his spirit, he's put his spirit in us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It may feel that way, but the reality is we are being transformed. Like we said in the beginning of this episode, mm-hmm. all of us are being transformed into something.
Mm-hmm.
Either we're being lazy or we're being laxed and we're being transformed into something that we don't want because we're just letting it happen. Or we're following God, we're putting our eyes on him, we're seeking first his kingdom, we're letting his spirit work in us, we're not fighting it, and we're being transformed into his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the lie is that we're stuck.
Yeah, the lie is that we can't change.
Mm-hmm.
The lie is that we are what we are.
Or we hear in our heads, we'll never change. That's what I was getting stuck in, is like,
mm-hmm.
no, I'm never going to change. And you see yourself one way and it gets really hard to see yourself in a new way.
Yeah, and believing that we can, like you said, but then also believing what God says mm-hmm. and believing that he has something for us. So
the reason why we wanted to bring this up to you today for those listening is because we kind of had this conversation going on in our marriage, and we know that we're not the only ones who have struggled with desiring change in marriage or in parenting or in life, in so many different areas of life. And you know, we want to encourage you guys. If you're in that place of desiring change and transformation, we hope that today encourages you, and maybe what we share, not every single bit of it will stick with you, or you know, be something that you feel like you need to work on, but I'm sure there's at least one or two.
Well, and the point is there's this saying that says, like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about the whole thing, like, I can't, but like the goal is taking that next step, just moving forward, asking God, saying, God, help me get to the, whatever the next footprint is.
Yeah.
Not trying to look at the goal 1,000 miles away and saying, I can never get there.
Yeah.
Just realize there's a journey that we're all on. And so we hope you feel the grace and the mercy that God's been feeling or showing us, is that it's okay that we're on this journey and that we sometimes don't know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And transformation and change feels hard, mm-hmm. because it is, actually. But we all can do it because we have Christ.
So we're going to share 7 ways that you can transform your marriage with your spouse. And some of these are practical. Some of them are just good old fashioned
truth
from the Bible, but we hope that these stick with you guys and encourage you toward that change you've been yearning for.
And a lot of these things are things that we ourselves have recognized helped us or will help us as we have been trying to implement them more. So it's not like we've just came up with these for you. This is things that work for us too.
Our experience.
And this first one, I've mentioned it so many times in other episodes, but it works so well for you, Jennifer, but it also works really well for me. And for us.
Because we get to see it together.
Yes.
So what is it?
It's write it out. It's very practical. The idea is write it out. And so this first
not
one.
Write it out.
Not write it out, but that is a good tip, actually. Just get through. No, write it out. WRITE. There's something really powerful about writing things down.
We kind of been doing it all week with the growth spurt. If people have been following along,
we got our own cards out, and the fact that I wrote it down and put it on the refrigerator
makes you think about it.
I see
every day.
And I realize I'm like, oh man, I'm not following through with that thing that I said I'm going to do. I'm looking at the clock right now, actually, because the thing I wrote down was I'm going to be in bed by 9. And I did it last night, just about.
You're not supposed to talk about it yet. The note's on there for later.
So okay. Yeah,
you guys have to listen to the rest of the episode today to hear more.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut you off.
So here's the idea behind this is meet together to write down some goals you have for your marriage.
Because sometimes we don't even know what it is that we want to change into or be transformed in unless we get it out of our hearts, get it out of our heads, mm-hmm. and see it on a piece of paper and you go, oh yeah, that's what it is. That's what I want.
Yeah. And these are actually, they could be large goals, but things that are practical, especially when you start talking together, you start realizing like, oh, there's some disparaging, you know, thing like, well, you have this goal and I have this goal. How can we meet in the middle? How can we figure that out? But what's awesome about that is you figure that out.
Like compromising.
Yeah. Compromising. And then also finding out like, well, what are some goals we have what are some large goals we have that we can write down and shoot for that might take years? And what are some short-term or smaller goals that we can start focusing on now?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like more though, that's more for like a couple who wants to dream together. But if this whole episode is about transforming your marriage, we're talking more like relational goals here, right? Like more
relationship,
intimate.
Home life, mm-hmm. Spiritual walk, goals. Yeah. So goals, and you can also break them up. Goals for your walk with God, maybe individually and together. Goals for your marriage. So what do you want your marriage to look like? What do you want it to represent? What do you want people to say about your marriage? What do you want to show to your kids mm-hmm. in your marriage? And then the next one would be goals for your family. Like, how do you want your family to, what do you want your family to look like, represent? How do you want it to operate? So for us, we've talked about this. We used to do Bible time very consistently every day. So a goal for us would be like, hey, let's get back to that consistency of doing Bible time every day throughout the week.
And then asking each other, what's the best time to do that? And that's where that compromise comes in of like, okay, well, for me, it'd be this time and let's work that out. So I also want to just add right here that my encouragement would be don't go list, you know, 25 ways you want your marriage to improve. Mm-hmm. Pick one or two because you want something that you can work towards and feel good about when you're actually feeling the success of it, when you're feeling the change coming and you're making those decisions. If you overwhelm yourself with a lofty list, then you're mind and heart's going to freak out because it's going to be hard.
Yeah. So some of the ways, I just want to mention one more thing. When we write these things down, like you kind of said a second ago, it gets things that we may not know how to verbalize them in the moment, or they're things that just have dwelled in our hearts. And maybe those things have turned into anxiety or frustration or bitterness because we don't see them happening, but they're also never being voiced in a real tangible way. It gives it a place to live. It makes it from this internal secret thing to a real life thing that can be looked at, evaluated, calculated, remembered, and even held accountable to, because like it exists.
And also, just to add to that list, a repetition of seeing it helps you remember about it. There's so many things that we've talked about, and then it's like once we've talked about it, it's gone. And you forget so easily.
Yeah.
And yet if you write it down and you see it constantly, you're form in that repetition, you're forming that memory in your brain to be like on it.
A couple of things this does for you in your marriage. So if you guys plan a night to sit down, maybe it's at a date night, which is often when Jennifer and I do it, or if after the kids go to bed or in the morning after breakfast, I don't know, whatever works for you guys. You guys start getting into a habit of planning things together. Mm-hmm. So you're like, hey, we're going to do this together. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, it's not just a let's hang out and talk. It's a let's be specific and focused. It also gives you an opportunity to figure out life together. So now you're building this bond of like, hey, let's talk about things that are important to us and what that looks like. The third thing is it brings accountability. So like we said, Bible time. Jennifer, you look at me, you're like, hey, remember we decided we're going to do Bible time?
Like, oh yeah.
I'm like, yes. And then I stop what I'm doing because she knows that's the moment that we would do it. And I sit down. Mm-hmm. So now we can help each other because we made that agreement together. We wrote these things down together. And so now that bond and that commitment is all really good stuff that happens in your marriage.
Let me ask this question. If that's all really good, especially if you're on the same page and there's unity and oneness toward working towards some of these things. Let's say you're listening right now, but Aaron, I'm posing this to you. Mm-hmm. If you're as a listener and you're thinking, okay, well, me and my spouse, we're not quite there yet. And I don't know if we'll be able to have that conversation. Is it something you could do individually, separate?
Well, if
for a time, yeah, while maybe the Lord's working on both of you.
Yeah, maybe there's a relationship where it's not as tight, and maybe that wouldn't be this season right now. They're not going to be sitting down and writing goals together. Absolutely. I mean, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in what God tells us. So a wife or a husband, if you're the one wanting to do this, I would say start your planning and goal setting should be a regular prayer for your spouse. Lord, help me to grow in my love for them. Lord, help them transform into the man or the woman that you have made them to be.
Yeah.
And seeing, look at more like these prayer goals for your spouse who maybe not be on the same page with you, to be drawn into it more.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. This next one, we're on number two. We're only on number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, how to transform your marriage. We're going to take it back to Sunday school. Okay, guys. And it's because if we're honest, we don't always operate this way.
No, we want others to, but we don't.
Number two is the golden rule.
Yeah. If we can incorporate the golden rule into our marriage, into our life, oh man, it literally would change everything.
You're saying intentionally do it. Because we do probably generally think about this at some point, but maybe not. I don't know. Okay, read it. Matthew 7:12.
The golden rule, if you don't know it, Matthew 7:12. Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and prophets.
Okay, so question, do you operate in this with me?
I would say I try to on a regular basis, but I would say the times that I don't is not good.
Yeah, that's kind of where I land. So we need to be better at this. Okay.
Often, the way my kids put it, because the way they hear this is, I'm going to do to them as they do to me. I'm like, that's not what it says. And often that's what we do. We like, you did this, so I'm going to do it.
We just mirror everybody.
Yeah, instead of breaking that cycle and saying, oh, I'm not going to do that thing because I wouldn't want it done to me.
Mm-hmm.
If we just applied this rule more regularly, if we looked at our life and said, I'm going to commit, Lord, you helping me to do unto my wife as I would wish her to do unto me.
Mm-hmm.
man, it would change everything. If I treated you the way I wanted to be treated, if I don't want you to be harsh to me, mm-hmm. then I should be gentle to you. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to treat you. I want you to be gentle, so I'm going to be gentle. If I wouldn't want you to lie to me, which I don't know anyone who would want someone to lie to them, right? Then I shouldn't lie to you.
Yeah.
Even about little things. And it keeps going. So if I'm going to want to be pursued by you.
You were going to say by someone.
I know. I don't know why I was going to say that. If I want to be pursued by you, then I should pursue you.
Yeah.
Right? If I want to be encouraged, then I should be encouraging. I should encourage you as much as I would want to be encouraged by you. And the point is whether or not you do it to me, that's what I would want. So mm-hmm. I should treat you that way.
Galatians 5:13-14 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself."
So if we love each other the way we want to be loved, if I love you as myself, which in marriage you are myself, that's what the Bible teaches, we're one. I'm actually fulfilling the law. Like, and it continues on and it says, I would never steal from you if I love you. I would never lie to you if I love you. I would never murder you if I love you. Like you don't break the law when you love someone. You're mm-hmm. actually fulfilling all of the law in it. So if we treat each other, golden rule, the way we want to be treated, there'll be so much more joy and peace and power and forgiveness and all the things that we want mm-hmm. because we're doing it. Even if only one person's doing it, you're getting 50% more of it than you were before.
Right. All right. Moving on to number three. Should we say it together?
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
That's really funny because it's been our whole life hearing that, right?
Yeah, sure everybody.
My parents always saying that.
And yet.
We always said something not nice.
Even still, there's times
often we
want to speak our minds.
And we get angry, we're hurt, and we think that gives us the right to say angry and hurtful things to our spouse. Maybe some of you don't, but we have. When we feel justified.
I was going to say, because the things that I don't mean to hurt you or be mean. I think I'm just stating the obvious or observing something or saying something mm-hmm. that's true. Mm-hmm. But the way that I'm saying it
right? It's the heart and the attention and then the purpose behind it. Is what's not nice. Mm. Critique. I was saying critiques are good. This note I put here, when they're brought constructively. So like you said,
not in the middle of an argument or.
Well, and with a purpose of constructive criticism and love, and it, like you said, not in the middle of I'm mad at you, and therefore boom, I'm
yeah
right.
Here's another one.
But we've done it and we do it and, but if we can practice holding our tongues, meaning like. Being quiet, mm-hmm. not saying the thing that comes to the top of our mind when we're in the middle of a heated, argument or we're hurt or frustrated is so much more fruitful than just letting it out.
This is a really big one for making transformation happen in your marriage because like you listed a practical and an action one where it's like how you treat mm-hmm. each other. But the tongue, like you hear that over and over and over again. So the things that you say to your spouse, they are not easily forgotten. And they bring up...
Especially if your spouse repeats them often. Because that could happen.
Yeah.
Becoming an echo chamber of like, here's things that I'm going to continue to say. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes from a heart of like, I just want... And you've said this. I have to say something because I feel like if I don't, they're not going to change. They won't...
Or you won't know.
Receive that thing.
Yeah. All I'm saying is even though it's a small part of our body, like our tongues are so powerful. And what's that proverb where it talks about the tongue brings life or death? It builds up a home or tears it down.
And who loves it, eats it.
Yeah.
Eats up its fruit or something like that.
Yeah. And we should have put that note in here. But seriously, like we could have a great day. We could be treating each other well. We could be hitting our goals. But if we don't practice self-control with our tongues or thinking before we speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, and and to be honest, silence is often better than saying the thing that you want to say.
Not the silent treatment. That's different.
Yeah, not the silent treatment. Yeah, not saying silent as a weapon, but right. holding your tongue as a form of
being slow to speak.
Love. Yes, slow to speak and quick to listen yeah. is what the Bible says. There's a verse that should put some fear in us about how we talk to each other. It's in Galatians 5:15. It's actually the continuation of a verse you just read. And it says, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." This idea of are we walking in the flesh so much with each other, the way we communicate with each other, the way we talk to each other, we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're not loving our spouse as we love ourselves. We're not doing unto others as we'd have them do unto us. That it turns into this biting and devouring of one another.
Mm-hmm. Like a cycle of yeah. just well, going back and forth.
And I feel like we brought this up before, but when we are talking this way, even in an argument, we're chipping away at ourselves because we're one. We're chipping away at our teammanship, our unity, our oneness, and our love. And so being quiet is so much better than letting it out. Okay, number four. Stop being easily offended.
This was a huge one for us. Like, we started out this list by telling you guys that this list was based off of our own experience and what we've walked through.
Trying to walk through, yeah.
And when we came to this realization that, hey, we're actually being really easily offended, we need to stop doing this, it was a game changer.
Really was. This is actually one of the attributes of love. So love is patient, love is kind. And then it says, love is not it's not irritable or resentful. And irritable means easily frustrated, easily offended, like bothered. It's like this, it's an oversensitivity.
Like, you walk past me and you've done something that I disagree with, or, you know, it's frustrating, or yeah. or you do something differently than how I would do it. And I just respond. I just snap yeah. or I huff under my breath and I'm just mm-hmm. irritated by you.
A good way of looking at this is when we make people feel like they have to walk on eggshells, mm-hmm. that old, you know, idiom that says, like, oh, I have to like tippy toe. Like, if I just slightly crack that little egg over there, you're going to like, freak out on me.
Another way this happens is by if, you know, one of us wants to share something and we say it the wrong way or like our intention is well, and we feel like it needs to be said, but the other person is just easily offended. They can't even hear what's being said because they're just mm-hmm. resistant to hearing. That's happened before.
And I think we become easily offended when we get stuck in a place of loving ourselves more than we love our spouse.
That's good. Yeah.
Because what that means is I love myself so much that I don't want you to step on my toe or hurt my feelings or say something that's going to bother me or do something that I'm embarrassed by or anything that's going to make me feel uncomfortable or inconvenienced or you name it.
Yeah.
So when we...
Because the question in the head goes, why aren't you doing X or Y or Z? For me. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you did this thing against me.
Yeah.
And now I'm feeling this way. Yeah. Or it comes from a place of insecurity. Like
we're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Shamed or guilty, or you feel a certain way about yourself, and we take that on our spouse. We want them to be at fault for how we feel.
Like projecting our feelings.
Yeah. And there could be so many other reasons for this. We're not psychologists, but
I can say one thing: when you're not abiding in the word and you're not walking with Christ, ooh, our flesh gets irritated.
Easily,
bothered. We get selfish. We get all kinds of pride. And so that's just another way. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but if we truly love, we will not be irritable or resentful. Like, always having it out for our spouse. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they always are this way with me. So a good place to start with this is, again, going back to that writing it down, right? Maybe writing down, hey, we're going to work on not being easily offended. And then reminding each other in those moments of a quick, like, irritation, a quick offense. Like, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that to me? how come you, you know, reminding each other that we're working on it. Hey, remember we're working on not being easily offended.
Yeah.
If I bothered you, let's talk about it, but let's not be easily offended. And then going back and forth, I think that's a really good place to start.
And I just want to add, if you're listening right now and there's been tension in your marriage for any reason, start here. Like, make this one your number one.
Hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Number five, this is going to be a hard one for some people and a really good one. Good one for some people. more romance and more sex.
Okay, Aaron.
Okay.
I could have said
more intimacy. That's what I originally wrote. And then I wanted to be more specific because the wife's going to see intimacy one way and the husband's going to see it another way. But
I think we all need it though.
We need both.
Yeah.
Romance and sex. We need the blessing of what both of those bring to our marriage, both the physical and the emotional. And that's kind of how I categorize this. Romance is more of the emotional intimacy, that connection. And then the physical is that sex. It's the physical connection where two are becoming one and the bodies are connecting. So they're both necessary, both needed. And we shouldn't do one and not the other.
Yeah. Anytime we've intentionally focused on this area of our life and, you know, just made it kind of a focus for us, it's blessed us. It's helped
always.
Us.
Yeah.
It's made our relationship feel more full. We feel more unified. We feel more connected. We feel more interested in each other. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel like that?
Well, the desire grows the more we work on these areas, mm-hmm. the more we want them in our life. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the order I put these in is for a reason. The writing it down, you could take each one of these things and start putting these down as relational goals.
That's good.
And then they're visible. The doing unto others. So treating your spouse the way you'd want to be treated. So if my wife, you know, if I want my wife to be more physical and more interested in me in that way, then I'm going to do things that would be loving to her, massages and other types of physical intimacy that she appreciates and desires.
Oh, I see. So not being easily offended has to be taken care of before you jump into this next one. Got it. You should have corrected me when I said you should make number three your number one. I didn't know you put these in order like that.
I did, because this is actually an area where being easily offended always gets in the way.
Yeah.
Like if we have easy offenses,
makes it so much harder to get there.
Desiring one thing and you can't give that to me for whatever reason, you're tired, long day, sore, painful, whatever. And I'm easily offended by that rather than loving you and mm-hmm. being patient, and it messes things up and mm-hmm. vice versa. So yeah, I did put these in an order because they matter in some sense to have work on each one of these areas in little ways. And they will all benefit each other. So romance, I just wanted to pull out some ideas for this section. That
you're going to give them ideas?
Emotional intimacy. It's this feeling of excitement and mystery associated with love. That's the definition, in search of romance. So it's a quality or a feeling of mystery, excitement, a remoteness from everyday life.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It doesn't have to be this big, extravagant thing. It's how can you just make the moment with special. Your spouse special,
yeah.
different? Take them away from that ordinary, mm-hmm. just for a moment. And that could be like a going on a walk. It could be bringing something home that's like, hey, I thought about you today. That's an excitement. You actually like that when I, like a simple thing. I call you up and I say, do you want an iced tea?
I love it.
You're like, oh.
It's awesome.
Because that's out of the ordinary. I'm not always grabbing an iced tea. I'm not, but you felt thought of, and then you get a special treat out of it, and it kind of breaks up the day.
I do love that so much. And it makes me feel so good to feel thought of in a special way, like that you know me, that you know what I would like. And it just affirms my heart and my love and makes me feel like you're thinking of me, mm-hmm. which is good. And it's good for us to recognize those times that our spouse goes out of the box, you know, or goes out of their way to try these things,
try be more romantic and exciting and different, you know.
And when they do it, to affirm them and use your words and say, I really appreciated that, or I really love that. Because the more we affirm each other in those ways of being that we want to see more of, they'll continue to happen. Right?
Yeah, Jordan Peterson has a quote. He says, don't ever punish behavior you want repeated. So even if I don't follow through with or do something in the way that you might want, mm-hmm. like there's been times I brought you iced tea that you don't like because you have a taste for certain types of iced teas. But I didn't know that. And then I learned it. you could have taken the opportunity to punish me for it and be like, this is what you got me. I hate this. Oh,
gotcha.
Or you could be like, wow, this was so thoughtful. Just for future, this isn't my favorite tea, but I'm so happy that you did that for me.
I think that's
which
right.
is what you, but yeah. that's what you did.
Yeah.
And it, I thought, oh, I, thank you. I didn't know that because I actually didn't. And now when I get you tea or do something, I think, oh, where would she like me to get tea?
That's awesome.
And it also has taught me to ask you.
Yeah.
For future, like, hey, where's your favorite place to get, you know, this or
but it's like a get to know me.
Yeah. And it,
don't be afraid to ask questions,
but don't punish those behaviors you want repeated, even if it doesn't happen the way you want, the way you expect, but affirm it and encourage it so that it happens more from your spouse on both sides.
Yeah. I like that you kind of, broke romance and physical intimacy into separate kind of categories here, because romance is so much more of that connectedness
and emotional connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so important. It's an important part of marriage, but so is physical intimacy. And I think it's really important for us to remember that our spouses need us. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's weird that I put that in the plural just now.
Our spouses. Yeah.
Our spouse needs us. And we have needs. And so being there for one another and being willing to make the effort
mm-hmm.
and put our hearts and our minds toward that.
We're talking about the physical side now, right?
Yeah. In the physical, just as much as the romance or connected side of things.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring up on the physical side of things, because I know that this is a huge area of struggle in a lot of marriages. It was a huge one for us for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only been in the last, you know, handful of years that it's been getting so much better, and we've been growing and getting excited about these things and praying about it more. But first and foremost, it's a powerful gift. Physical intimacy, sex is a powerful gift from God given to husbands and wives. It really is. And we have to change our minds about that. You know, talking about transformation, we need our minds changed for true transformation to happen. So if we can change our mind that sex is a good thing, because I know many people see sex as a bad thing or a hurtful thing or a something that they don't enjoy.
Stressful thing.
Yeah. And it can be all of those things. But if we start reminding ourselves and thinking, no, this is a good thing, this is a gift, that'll change a lot of things. Also, it's a command. 1 Corinthians 7:3, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. So on both sides, it doesn't just say the wife to her husband only, as if every situation is always the husband needs it more than the wife, because that's not true. So there's some situations where it's totally different with the wife and the husband, but it says to both. And in other places it says that her body is not her own, it is yours, and your body is not your own, it is hers. Just reiterating this, the power and the truth behind your oneness. You are one body, and you cannot control it and use it and as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it a gift, but it's also a command. And there's some actual really awesome benefits to sex. And if you didn't know this, it helps relieve stress and anxiety. I know sex might give some people anxiety, and I pray for you that you would, like we said, have a transformation in your mind about this. But it does biologically relieve stress and anxiety. The hormones that get released in your body do that.
It also helps your immune system.
It does. Those same hormones that help with relieving stress and anxiety helps boost your immune system. Also, when you have less cortisol in your body, which makes that's the stress hormone,
yeah.
you get sick less, because cortisol can actually make you, like, it weakens your immune system. But it helps your immune system. It also brings pleasure and excitement. That's just such a good thing.
Joy, yeah.
And we need that in our marriage. We need that connection and that pleasure. Most importantly, sex reinforces closeness and oneness.
Yeah. Speaking of oneness, you brought up earlier, just briefly, not using sex as like a tool or a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of just kept on going. And I just want to go back to that really quick, because I think sometimes we don't even realize when we are withholding our bodies from each other because of being easily offended or thinking that they're not thinking of us or
they haven't given me what I want.
There is a list of things that could possibly motivate someone to kind of close themselves off and be guarded.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say weaponize and you say, you know, using your body as a tool, that's what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
So if you use it in a negative way, it becomes a weapon.
It also becomes a roadblock to like moving forward to experience reconciliation and connectedness. And
this is not the kind of transformation we want when we do this, but when we are more free with each other and open with each other in this way, it's good. Now, that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be any times that you're like, hey, can we forego tonight?
Yeah.
You know, right. But that goes back to the communication, and that goes back to goal setting together, and also
considering one
openness
another.
Considering one another, treating each other as we'd like to be treated. Mm-hmm. Again, there's an order. Okay.
What's next in your order, Aaron?
Invest in your marriage. Okay. I think this sounds obvious.
Like, but how much money do you have to?
Exactly. Well, just having it, it's almost like if you were to invest in your education, invest in this business, you're taking one of the most important things in your entire life. And
you're elevating it.
Are we investing in it?
You're saying this is a priority. This is what I'm going to put my effort and my energy and my resources and everything I've got towards, because this matters.
Investment means I'm going to spend time and money and energy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invest. And when you invest in your marriage, you're going to get some of the greatest returns you can ever think of.
Generational.
Yeah. you're going to get returns for a long time with your children, because they're going to look back on your marriage and be like, wow, my parents, they invested in each other. They loved each other. They weren't perfect, but man, they tried hard.
And because of that kind of example, when they get married, they will have the same fortitude and excitement around investing in their marriage.
Yeah. At least that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
I want my kids to have that same desire.
So what are some ways we can invest?
Something we did a long time ago when we were going through some of our hardships. It was actually, wasn't it like right at that end point of like things changing for us?
Yeah.
We went to a marriage retreat, and there's marriage retreats all over the country.
We went to Family Life's Weekend to Remember,
which are awesome.
It was actually really cool because we kind of like rededicated our marriage and our purpose and everything that we had been walking through. We just submitted it to God and said, we're going to keep going.
And so you could try Weekend to Remember. That's it's a Family Life event. And so that's a good one. But you know what? There might be one going on at your church and you don't even know about it. But just look at if you have like a pamphlet or a website, or you can Google it. There's a lot of, and I would suggest a Christian marriage retreat, but marriage retreats, that's one really good way to invest in your marriage. What's another one?
Reading books together or individually and just kind of sifting through the notes, you know,
talking about them.
But there are a lot of marriage books out there.
Yeah. Do we know any marriage books specifically?
Actually, so Marriage After God. Marriage After God is one that I would recommend. And we have a couple of marriage books if you want to look on our store.
Yeah, a few more than a couple, but
some devotional, some prayer books that you guys could do together, which is awesome.
And you can go to shop.marriageaftergod.com to look at everything we have to offer.
But there's a lot of other good books too, like Meaning of Marriage, See Through Marriage by Fierce
Sacred Marriage.
Marriage
was a really good one.
Yeah, by Gary Thomas.
So get into books. And if you're like me, I like audiobooks. I can consume them quicker. I can also retain them better.
I am not an audio person. I have to have the tangible. Like, I can't even do digital. I have to have the book that I can curl the pages back and
I know. I love seeing you read too. But it also, that this creates another thing to talk about and to share with each other and growing your marriage. So you're not just investing in what you're consuming, but also what you're discussing with each other. Gives you things to talk about also, which is really good. Regularly planned date nights.
Or even double date nights, like go out with another couple and you'll notice you guys can start talking about marriage and all of a sudden you don't feel so alone in some of the things you're wrestling in, because
I think we've brought this up in like 80 episodes talking about date night. And we say it so often because it's something that we dedicated to several years ago. How many? Maybe like 5 or 6 years ago.
It was after we had Oliver Wyatt.
And we realized there was a while that had gone by and we're like, man, when's the last time we went on a date with each other? Mm-hmm. And so we just put it on the calendar every week and we figured out a babysitter and we planned it. Now, that didn't mean we went every week, but we just, the fact that it was on the calendar, again, the fact that we wrote it down, meant it happened way more often than it would have if we didn't. So investing in that way. And since this is under investing in your marriage, we've talked about in the past that it doesn't have to be something where you go out or spend money. I would say make this an intentional investment of like, I want to go do something special even if it's not every time.
Like catch each other by surprise.
Yeah. Set a reservation at a restaurant you guys don't go to all often. Go throw axes at your local axe throwing place if you have
one. Get fast food and go do an activity like, ride bikes or something.
But invest in a way that's different than normal. If you can. Maybe you have to save for it a little bit, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That actually makes it more special.
Another way that you can invest in your marriage is find out if your church has a marriage group. Something that really, really affected our marriage in a positive way was the church.
Probably, I think we often attribute it saving our marriage.
Yeah. We were going to a church back in, I think this is our third year of marriage. Mm-hmm. We were in California, and they had a marriage group, and you came to me and you were like, hey, we're going to go. It's on Wednesday night.
It was terrifying.
You need to be there. You need to show up. And because I was like having that was a really dark time for me. And I was resistant toward going and didn't want to do it. But you encouraged us and said, this is what we need to try. And so we showed up, and it was scary. There was a lot of people there. But when we sat at the table and we started hearing the marriage stories coming up, it was actually really beautiful.
Yeah.
Very eye-opening, and it had a lot of purpose, and it... You just got to do it. Mm-hmm. If your church has one, go for it.
If they don't have one, you should ask them to start one.
Yeah.
Because you never know. There might be 20 other couples that have asked, and they'll finally be like, oh, we should start a marriage ministry.
Number 7 is this the last one?
This is the last one.
Right. See your spouse and yourself through Christ's eyes. I mentioned this in a previous episode, I think one or two back, and it's really important that we are able to do this. And the only way we can do it is if we know Christ.
Yeah. And it also, again, this changes everything. Going back to what you talked about earlier also of, you know, what if there's a couple that aren't on the same page? Maybe one's not a believer. Maybe they're going through some really hard things and it's hard to connect. When we can look at our spouse through Christ and say, wow, okay, Lord. Like we talked about, I think an episode or two ago about them, having a brotherly love, a sisterly love, of seeing them in that way. Because maybe it doesn't feel like they're my spouse right now because of this or that, because of this pain, because of that hurt. But man, I'm going to try and see them the way Christ does. I'm going to try and love them the way Christ loves them, and stop looking at them from an earthly, fleshly point of view of all of the things they did wrong.
Critical.
All of the things that need to change.
I feel like when you look through Christ's eyes, there's like this lens of grace that you could just see not who they are in their sin, but who they are because of the blood of Christ and what he's done and becoming a new creation in him and the hope for transformation in their life.
Yeah. And here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:16-19. It says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. This is essentially what we're talking about here. Let's stop regarding each other according to flesh, and let's start regarding each other according to the Spirit, according to what Christ did and who Christ is. And then it says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So instead of seeing only the flesh, only the sin and the mistakes and the shortcomings and the frustrations and the hurts, we see the one who Christ died for. We see the one Christ shed his blood for. We see the one Christ is reconciling to the Father through his life, death, and resurrection.
You know, it's 16 years, right?
Yeah, 16
years of marriage.
Yeah. We just had that.
There have been many times that we've had to intentionally see each other through Christ's eyes, because it's not something we tend to do on a daily basis, although we should, right?
Yeah. It's usually in those really hard times that we're like,
and then everything just kind of falls flat on the floor and you're like, well, grace.
Well, because
that's what he's given to us.
In our testimony that you share in the Unveiled Wife book, that's essentially what happened. You know, we were on the verge of just being done, calling it quits. And I felt the Lord telling me, like, are you going to forgive your wife? Are you going to love her as I did? And he just reminded me of who he is. Mm-hmm. And it made it so much, it made it impossible for me to, because I was either going to say, no, I'm not going to look at her like that and I'm over it. Or I was going to say, no, Lord, I love you. And I'm going to try and see her that way.
Yeah. Some of you listening right now, I just want to encourage you. You may be in a place where you need to pray and ask God to give you those eyes to see through Christ's lens. You know, you might need to pray for that because.
Well, we have to.
I would say,
because I can't do it without him.
Yeah, we can't do it in our flesh. So, yeah, all of us listening right now, we need to do that. And then I just wanted to, we kind of summed up all the important stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I can move on.
You can.
You guys know, if you've been listening for a long time, I bring up memes from time to time and I get stuck on social media in that way. But I love those transformation videos, or, you know, they show you the reel of pictures where it's like, this is who I was, but this is who I am.
Yeah, and it's they're really like powerful.
A really huge weight change, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking of right now is just like.
Well, we've even seen ones of like people that are being changed because of Christ, and they had that, like how they were before this part of year, and then all of a sudden they're totally different. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. But the ones that I'm thinking of specifically are the weight ones.
Yeah.
And just how dramatic it is. And they'll usually show bits and pieces of like what it took to get there.
The progress,
the working out. And it just moves me because I think like, you don't just get to be transformed. You have to be willing to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to remind all of us that change can happen in us, like you mentioned earlier, through, you know, being passive and allowing influences in our life that change us, but we're not going to say that's for the positive.
Rarely it is. Accidentally change for the positive.
Yeah. And so the powerful transformation that we are all eager to see in our lives and in our marriages comes from putting in the time, putting in the work, putting in the energy. It's being selfless. It's being sacrificial. And it requires much. Just like someone going through a weight loss journey and having to do muscle toning. That they did everything that they possibly could to get there.
Yeah. Well, the Lord puts it this way. We got to put to death our flesh.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what this process is putting behind us our flesh and desiring to walk in his spirit. And so the things that we brought up in this episode were hopefully just some practical things, but some things that we can actually do and try to do. So we hope you enjoyed those. This is the last episode of this month.
The last week of the month where we're talking about this specific growth spurt. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
So this section of the podcast, we want to encourage you guys to take time to invest, like Aaron mentioned earlier.
And write down.
In a personal way. Basically, this one covers everything. No.
Yeah.
The goal here is to build trust with your spouse by doing what you say you will and whatever commitments you've made, we want you to stick to them. So this is our encouragement. And the way that we're encouraging that is by taking a post-it note or a sheet of paper or 3x5 card and just start with one. If you have more on there, that's great. But you still got a week left to do this. And if you want to keep doing this past January, keep doing it. It's just one way that you can experience and maturity and transformation in your marriage.
Mine is, like I said,
mine's
supposed to be in bed by 9.
Look, the effort was there and I just want to let everyone know.
It is on the refrigerator. And I even mentioned, because we thought this was only going to take us 30 minutes to record. We're wrong. But it's 10:19. And so I'm going to forgive myself today and I'm going to try and be in bed by 9 tomorrow.
You've been doing great. I put on mine, affirm the kids. And it's because, you know, as a mom and homeschooling, they're in the home all the time. They're with me all the time. I do a lot of correction and critique and, you know, helping them in their life,
figuring
what mature and what's right and stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that I was affirming them. You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how things have been. So I just wanted to make sure that I was doing that. So I put on mine, affirm the kids. And so I've been doing that. And it's actually been really beautiful. I love seeing their eyes light up and it just feels good. So.
All right. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the change we have already experienced in marriage. We pray we would continue to see positive transformation in our relationship. We pray for more love, more peace, and more joy. Please help us to be intentional in the way we choose to interact in marriage every day. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us to not be easily offended by each other. Show us areas of our marriage we can invest in and put the time and energy into making what we have even better. Please help us to see each other as you see us and help us to hope for the change we desire to see. Thank you for our marriage and thank you for the opportunities you've given us to make changes in our lives. We pray our marriages continue to mature and that it honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness in listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy. Because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.